Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On YouTube. Christian, what's happening, brother? Long time no talk.
Yep, it has been a minute, and since the last time we talked, we've hit full-blown summer, and I think everybody's pretty miserable at this point.
Well, come on. I don't know if it's like full misery. The weather does, it gets rough.
If you're outside, it is full-blown misery.
And you do, outside. So you're basically projecting a little bit of your misery on everyone else.
Pretty much.
Okay. I hear you. Now, I want to start at one place and one place only, and that has to do with this weekend in Memphis football history. Antoine Hill Jr., four-star quarterback, 12th-ranked quarterback, according to 247 in the entire country, number one-ranked quarterback in Georgia. I think he's the top 200 recruit, according to 247. On3 has basically said he's the highest-ranked quarterback in the ranking era, I should say, that Memphis has ever landed. This is a massive get, and I think a relatively historical get when we look at the history of this program and where it's been in the past.
Yeah, I would say it's the biggest commit in Memphis football history. And according to 247 Sports, there's been two players that were ranked higher that have committed to Memphis in the rankings era. But we know the importance of quarterback. We know what it draws. We know that it's the leader of the team. We know with a good quarterback in college football, you can compete at a high level because they tend to elevate the players around them. And even further than that, let's go worst case scenario. Let's say Antoine Hill doesn't pan out. He's not a superstar at Memphis. It's still going to be a massive get because of what comes from this. Even if Peyton Joseph, who's scheduled to announce his commitment on the 4th of July, doesn't choose Memphis, there will be more players that become Tigers because of Antoine Hill, 100%, because he's going to help this staff recruit players using his relationships and his status as a national recruit. So overall, even worst-case scenario, if he doesn't pan out as a superstar quarterback, this is going to be the biggest get in history, and I think this is going to be a pivotal point when we look back in time and we say this is when Memphis was really able to consistently land, you know, top 200 level recruits, because that's not been the case in program history. I think that changes with the addition of Antoine Hill.
And I think it's the biggest one in history just because of what it signifies. You sort of mentioned that already. But I think also with Antoine Hill Jr., it's a look toward the future. Like, it gives fans an understanding of, this program can be stable after Seth Hennigan's gone. After how well he has played, what he's given to the program, you have something to look forward to.
Absolutely, because if this season is a massive success, which by all indications between the staff, between the players, between the schedule, between the expansion of the college football playoff, this should be a very successful season. And if you were going into next year with maybe a unheralded transfer quarterback and a former three-star prospect in Arrington Maiden, maybe some of that would die down. But with a top 200 player, top 15 quarterback in the country coming in, like the excitement will still be there regardless. Obviously, you have the unknown, but it's a national recruit. It's a name that people know. It's a player that's been extremely successful at the high school level. When you look at his statistics, as far as just accuracy and lack of mistakes, is extremely impressive. You don't have that fall off, and well, what happens now? Like, this was a successful year, but now without Seth Hennigan, where does it go? This gives you, as you're saying, so much stability at the position to, at least on paper, not experience a huge step down in talent between Seth Hennigan and then transitioning into Antoine Hill next year.
Now, I will ask this. I brought this up with David Cobb yesterday. When Antoine Hill gets here, we know that obviously a lot can happen. He just committed, you know, and he has to put pen to paper. But when he gets here, I think the best plan of action would likely to be find a quarterback to go compete with him. I mean, Arrington Maiden certainly, I guess, could do that. But maybe find a guy on the transfer portal that has some experience to come compete with him. It feels like, as a true freshman, you will need someone alongside him to sort of push him to where you want him to get.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing for this quarterback room moving forward, just finding more experience. Because could Antoine Hill go into next year and be incredible? Absolutely, that's totally possible. And even if he is everything he's cracked up to be as a true freshman, we see a similar season for his true freshman year as we did for Seth Hennigan. You still want to have veterans in the locker room at that position. It's such an important position to have someone that's been through an off season, been through a season that can help him go through that, other than just what would likely be a redshirt freshman in Arrington Maiden. It's very important to have that experience, someone that you can not necessarily model and mold your game after, but that you can mold your preparation after, or learn from someone how to prepare and how they've went about it throughout their career at other stops. So I think having more veteran experience in the quarterback room is absolutely a huge thing that I'm sure this staff already recognizes and already are working on a plan or thinking of a plan for that, whatever it may be. And that's not even mentioning competition. You don't want a true freshman to come in and just award him the job immediately.
Right.
He needs to work. He needs to know that there are other guys pushing him that are close to his talent level, even if they're more experienced and he's more raw. Someone that can push him and maybe make him a little bit uncomfortable and make him work harder every day and prepare harder every day. So I think that's extremely important going into the 2025-2026 season, to have some veterans around the younger guys that are already there or will be there if Antoine Hill ultimately does stick and end up on campus.
Now we're talking about one of the biggest, if not the biggest, commit in the history of Memphis football. How about this season? Is this the biggest year, most important year in Memphis football history?
Absolutely.
Upcoming, 2024-25. Not 25-26 when Antoine Hill gets here, but 24-25.
I think it is, because I think there's more on the table than there's ever been. The max for the University of Memphis before this season was pretty much what they did in 2019 with the Cotton Bowl year. Going to a New Year's Six Bowl was pretty much the pinnacle. I mean, we saw a group of five team reach the college football playoff, but we only saw that one time in the, 10-year history of the college football playoff. So
yep.
Extremely unlikely. Now with one spot that is reserved for a group of five team, one team is guaranteed. And you say, okay, there's a lot of teams in the group of five. Maybe that's not that good of an option to get in there. Well, when you really start to break it down, there's maybe, 4 to 6 teams max that are likely going to compete for that spot. When you start looking around, UTSA, Tulane, Boise State, some of these teams, Memphis obviously also in the mix there. Like, there's not a lot of teams that are going to compete for that spot. And so I think you have the biggest stakes you've ever played for, which is a potential college football playoff bid. And then you have the recruiting aspect to it. So if you go out and have an extremely successful year during the 2024-2025 season, then your 2026 recruiting class is going to pay dividends because of it. If Memphis is able to play games on national television, if they're able to win a conference championship, if they're able to land that college football playoff bid, that's not to mention, you know, the early season tilt against Florida State, which will be a national televised game. Like, there's so many things that Memphis can do this year to set themselves up for success. And, of course, we're going to talk about NIL. Of course, we're going to talk about the FedEx money. all that's important. All that is obviously paying dividends already for the University of Memphis. But if the on-the-field product continues to match and go over and beyond what it has been, then recruiting becomes much easier at Memphis. The NIL and then the success on the field with the ability to play for a national championship or get into the college football playoff, and then you also throw in the mix the success that Memphis has had putting players in the NFL that don't have the recruiting caliber of the players that they could potentially get. There's a lot of good selling points, which makes this the biggest year in school history.
And all of those reasons you brought up, like I know that Antoine Hill Jr., you know, a lot of the reason that everybody's pointing to is the FedEx money that you already mentioned. But it felt like most of the selling points that got him over top that made him choose Memphis over Florida were football reasons, correct?
I don't want to undershadow the importance of the NIL.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. It puts you on a level playing field, or at least close to a level playing field.
And that's what it is. It gets your foot in the door. Without having comparable NIL money, you're never going to get your foot in the door with top 200 level players with four-star, five-star guys, elite-level, quote-unquote, blue-chip prospects. You're not going to get your foot in the door unless you have comparable NIL money.
Sure.
Now, that's one thing, but you also have to have the selling points that you're talking about, which include getting players to the NFL is obviously a big thing. Memphis has done that. Success at the collegiate level. You look at the quarterback position for the University of Memphis. They've done that. Paxton Lynch, Riley Ferguson, Brady White, they've had successful guys at the quarterback position. The on-the-field product, winning 10 games last year. I know the Cotton Bowl bid can kind of seem far away at times now, but that's still, you can still use that as a selling point, that this program has been able to do that in the past. So now what can we do with you here? There's so many more areas that it goes into outside of NIL. I think, like I said, first and foremost, to get your foot in the door, you have to have comparable money. But then at that point, you have to have the on-the-field stuff. You have to have the facilities. You have to have all the other necessary selling points. And Memphis is really starting to emerge in those categories, which is why I think that this addition of Antoine Hill as a commitment could be the tip of the iceberg for what's to come for Memphis recruiting.
But for me, I look at it, it's program stability and opportunity, too. Some of these four-stars, if you find the NIL money to pony up and compete with a team like Florida, a team in the SEC, a team who has a lot of NIL money, there's more opportunity here for them to play earlier and get all of the snaps that they want early.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because let's compare if Antoine Hill was to go to Florida versus Memphis. Okay, so Florida just landed the number one quarterback in DJ Lagway. So he's there for 3 years, regardless. He's there for 3 years. So you have that to compete with. Florida, since Billy Napier arrived, has not been very good at all. They've been a middle-of-the-road, if not lower than that, SEC team. They also are, you know, dealing with certain things surrounding their program. You look at the Jaden Rashada stuff,
sure.
There's been some bad publicity surrounding Florida. So you have all those factors. Then you look at Memphis. Seth Hennigan is leaving after this year. The quarterback position is wide open. You don't have to wait potentially 3 years before you're able to get that spot. You look at the on-the-field success that Memphis has been able to achieve over the last several years, and you see a team that, as you're saying, has been pretty stable, not only with the on-the-field product, but also the coaching staff. Billy Napier's clock is probably ticking at Florida, and if he has a 4-6-win season, he's likely out. And Ryan Silverfield just signed a contract extension. I don't think anybody sees him going anywhere in the near future. So all those things are huge factors as well, and it's why I think when you have that comparable NIL money, it makes more sense. Like, Antoine Hill's going to have more opportunity to get on the field at Memphis. He's going to be able to chase the dream of being an NFL player quicker than he could at the University of Florida. He's probably not going to have to transfer like he would if he wanted to make him a name for himself. If he went to Florida, he would probably eventually have to transfer out to find another destination to play, unless he wanted to wait that 3 or 4 years behind DJ Lagway. So I think we're going to see a shift from the name value of teams, because we see quarterback positions loaded all around the country. Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning's a great example.
Sure.
There's other great examples around the country that you can look at. If I'm going to make similar money, and I'm going to have similar talent. Obviously, there's a drop-off between Power 5 and Group of 5. No one's arguing that. But if the talent's going to be similar, if this team can get me to the NFL and I can start showcasing my talent early, what's making me want to go to in Oklahoma or Florida or a Texas, make the same amount of money, and then potentially have to transfer and go somewhere else? It just makes more sense on paper to go to, it doesn't even have to be a Group of 5 school, but, you know, a mid-major Group of 5 school, and get that opportunity early and be able to do everything that you can do at a bigger school and make the same amount of money. It just makes sense, and I think we're going to see more of a shift towards that over the coming years.
Yep. Now, talking with Christian Fowler at C. Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Now, I want to insulate this next conversation with Memphis basketball. I think Penny Hardaway's done a good job this offseason of finding a team, getting the roster together, and getting them on campus early. And I have high hopes for next basketball season. But we did have a lot of drama down the back half of last week, didn't we? I mean, that was a fair amount of drama, whether it was his radio show appearance or the Joe Cooper article that was published by the Daily Memphian. But we'll start with Joe Cooper, who was a walk-on last year. He basically said, and it was sort of the second of the guys that were on campus last year. Jonathan Pierre said something similar. But Joe Cooper said this was one of the worst experiences of my life, and he said that Penny phased him out, and he didn't really talk to him, that type of thing. What did you make of that story from the Daily Memphian, from Parth Upadhyay? Anything overwhelming that sort of comes to your mind that bothers you about how that all went?
I think the biggest thing, and it's really strange to me, so I haven't really been able to make it make sense. But if you look at down the stretch of last season, Penny said multiple times about the guys that, you know, deserve to be on the floor, the guys that are working hard, the guys that are preparing the right way. Those are the guys that I'm going to play. And just based on the fact that Joe Cooper as a walk-on was able to play some decently meaningful minutes last year, you would think you would connect that to the fact that Joe Cooper was one of those guys that was practicing the right way, that's preparing the right way, that understood the system, that did things the right way just overall. And so then to kind of see the juxtaposition of that with the comments that were made
right
to the Daily Memphian, it's like it just doesn't make any sense, because I would have thought by the comments that were made that Joe Cooper was in favor with Penny, that he was one of Penny's guys, that, you know, he enjoyed coaching and felt like he was taking coaching in from Penny and the staff. And then to see those comments, it's just, it really is the polar opposite of what we heard from Penny.
Right.
And could we get into the, like, he said, like, Penny said this, Joe
sure
said this. Like, we don't know who's right. We don't know what actually happened behind the scenes. So it's only, you can't really speculate about it. But it's just kind of odd that Joe seemed like one of those players that Penny was kind of planting the flag on, and then for Joe to make those comments. Now, could that be that, you know, Joe was upset that maybe Penny wanted him to go elsewhere? Who knows exactly what goes into that? It's not something I really want to speculate on because we don't know. But it just seems strange, kind of the polar opposites of what Penny said during the season and then what Joe said to the Daily Memphian.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I can see where Joe may feel used and abused, because it's like, you know, he really did give some good minutes down the stretch of last season, and maybe he didn't feel like he was paid back for that or whatever. I'm not going to speculate too much. But in the end of the day, for me, it's like he's one of 1,000 guys in college basketball that ultimately gets phased out as a walk-on, and you create right roster spots. Penny knows he has to win going into next year. And I'll say this, I don't think anybody needs to lose sleep over the opinion of a walk-on. If it becomes a full-on trend, then you can start to get worried about it. But I don't think anybody needs to be that up in arms about the opinions or the comments of one Joe Cooper. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't think it's that much to write home about. Now, what I did think was a little bit jarring for me, I was in San Diego back half of last week, and I just sort of saw some of the comments Penny put out there on the TaylorMade radio show or podcast with Marcus Taylor. And the main one that everyone's pointing to, he said, talking about the program, Memphis basketball program, I feel like if I leave, it's going to go down hard. I found it off-putting, and it really bothered me. I don't know how, if you're a Memphis fan and you've been a Memphis basketball fan for years, I think that it should bother you to a certain extent, because it sounds almost like you know, Penny is the full-on key to success for this program, and this athletic department hadn't put the resources forward. That's sort of what it feels like on the surface when you hear him say something like that. I found it a tad bit off-putting.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, because there's other comments that Penny made, you know, about the media coming after him and stuff like that. And if he feels that way, like, we've always kind of pushed for, look, we like when coaches say it how they feel.
Sure.
You know, that when they don't, when it's not always coach speak. So if he feels that way, I don't really see any problem with saying it. I don't know if I necessarily saw it from the media as much. Maybe that's just me being ignorant. Who knows? But if he feels that way, cool. I like coaches speaking up and speaking their mind and not always talking in coach speak. But as far as saying, like, if I'm not here, the program goes down hard, that just feels like a very, like you said, off-putting comment. Like, Memphis basketball has a rich history for a reason. Of course, there have been down years, as there are in every program, but I don't think there's really one person that, if the University of Memphis basketball program loses, then it's going to go down hard and never recover. Now, if Penny left and someone took over, could it take a few years to build it back up, and could there be some dark years? Of course, when you're building a program, that's what happens. But do I think without Penny, like, the program stays down forever? No, I think that's a little bit of a wild statement to make. So confidence is good. It's good having confidence. It's good feeling like you're the man, and it, you know, if you're not here, then everything goes downhill. But I just, even if you feel that way, there are some times when you don't say everything that you think, and that feels like one of those scenarios where it's like, if he feels that way, which he clearly does, just maybe don't say that.
Because it's
probably going to make some people mad.
It's offensive to the athletic department and how they've built that program up over the years, isn't it? Like, that seems like it would offend some people behind the scenes who pour all the resources, try to pull up NIL money, do all these things. It's offensive to a certain extent, and I fully understand that.
Yeah, because not only could it be offensive to the people behind the scenes, but it's a little bit disrespectful to, like, the history of the program, you know, like
that he played in, by the way, that he played in.
Right, that he played in, and it was successful when he was there, not as the coach. And Memphis went to a national championship with John Calipari when Penny was not the coach. So it's just a weird comment. Like I said, the Memphis basketball has been successful throughout its history, and Penny's only been the coach for a small sample size of that. And in that time, it's not like Memphis has been the most successful it's ever been. Now, if Memphis was competing for national championships every year, if they were Sweet 16 or better every year, they were, you know, in title contention every year of Penny's tenure, and they were one of the top 10 teams in the country every year, then he might have something to say there. If he said that, you might be like, all right, yeah, it's not going to get any better than this. But in the time Penny's been here, it's been up and down. He's had some really promising years. He's had some years that haven't been so great. But overall, there's been an NIT championship, and there's been one NCAA tournament victory. And outside of that, how much can you really point at to say this is any better than most of the previous coaches at the University of Memphis? So, to me, if they were extremely successful, they're one of the top programs every year, you can make that statement. I still probably wouldn't, because it can be off-putting, but you can make that and it be fair. But with what he's done in his time at Memphis, it's a weird comment to me.
I think there are overwhelming challenges that the University of Memphis athletic department is going to have to approach at some point, with the revenue sharing and the Power Four or Power Five and the power conferences in general. Yeah, how can you keep up? You know, but at the same time, I sort of look at the conference they're in right now, and I don't know if there's, like, this, even without Penny, and I hope it works out with Penny. I shouldn't have to say that, but I hope it works out. But it seems like some people feel differently when we talk to the coach. Because who are you falling below in this conference in particular? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, I agree. Just with the resources, the history of the program, no one else in the conference really has that. There's not an allure really to any of the other programs outside of Memphis to a high level. So it's like, even regardless of who is the head coach, if they were able to recruit players and use the money that the NIL collective was giving them, then I would say there wouldn't be too much of a drop-off. So I agree with that comment, because it's not like you're playing in a powerhouse conference. If they were playing in one of the better conferences in the country, once again, maybe that gives you another layer to be able to say this. But what are they going to fall, like, below Rice? Are they going to be a team that's a bottom feeder in the AAC?
I don't think so. I don't see that happening. Yeah, but again, I think based on what Penny's done this offseason, I think this year should be a good year. That's how I opened this entire conversation. So we'll see what happens the rest of this offseason. Hopefully we can keep the drama down to a certain extent. Now, final thing, next time we talk, we will have the Grizzlies having executed their draft night, as the draft is tomorrow, first round, and the second round will be on Thursday. Do you have any takes before I let you roll on the Grizzlies and their number 9 draft pick, trade up, trade down? Do you have any opinions?
Yeah, we talked about the Jalen Duren rumors last night, which have kind of been circulating for the last couple of weeks. If you can do that, make it happen.
Santi Aldama, number 9 for Jalen Duren, if they want to pivot away from him.
Do it. Do it. I mean, you're upgrading tremendously in doing so. I don't think you're going to find someone with the number 9 overall pick that will make the same impact that Jalen Duren will make.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Horse rat pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I definitely don't think you'll find someone who fits the athletic profile of what the Grizzlies
right.
have built any better than Jalen Duren. I think it's a really good fit. You talked about last night some of his defensive inefficiencies when it comes to metrics and stuff. What's better help for that than playing next to Jaren Jackson? So I think that can cover up a lot of his. Maybe you call him issues on the defensive end of the floor. Maybe it's just playing.
Maybe he just played for the Pistons for a couple of years.
Right. So if that is legitimately on the table and that is an option, that is what I would do 100% without question. I'd make that happen.
I hear you. We'll see what happens, though, tomorrow night. But, Christian, I appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Kevin. See you next week.
Yes, sir. That is Christian Fowler on X at C Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. We have a podcast called the On the Bluff Podcast. Every single Tuesday at noon is when it releases. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. Let's go ahead and transition up out of here. And coming up next, we have to hop into a little thing that we do every day, multiple stories worth discussing. That would be the Blitz right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.